Well, good morning. This is the Leafs Combo for Oak Ridge Ford. In London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. I have two amazing programs for you when it comes to F-150. A low interest lease or finance, or a larger interest lease or finance with a ton of discount. Either way, it works out to your benefit. Get at me, Norm at Oak Ridge Ford on Instagram. You can also reach me through community here, youtube.com/TheLeafsCombo/community. It is Sunday, February 18th, 2024. Your boy, Norm in London, my partner in crime, Mike Augello in Chictawaga, New York. The Maple Leafs coming off a 9-2 win over the lowly Anaheim Ducks last night. Good all round. The reason being, the Leafs stepped on the throats of an inferior opponent. Not only did they beat them emphatically, it was a lot of fun in the process. Auston Matthews, Michael P. Augello, 3 goals last night, a career high, 5 points. It's, you know, again, hard to believe he's never eclipsed more than 5 points in one game. Mm. 48 goals this season, mm-hmm. 71 points. My friend, Mr. Augello, our favorite player on the Maple Leafs right now, Auston Matthews, is on pace for roughly 76 goals this season if he can keep up the pace. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Norm. Yeah, and the funny thing is that he's on that record-breaking pace, a pace that would set a career mark for the Leafs in a single season for goals, and he might not even finish third in the MVP voting because Nathan MacKinnon is having a phenomenal year with Colorado. And as you said before we started recording, Nikita Kucherov is on pace. He's setting like a McDavid type 150 yeah. point pace. And if you look at the gap between him and the next highest scorer on Tampa, which I think is Braden Point, it's about as wide a gulf as it is from Matthews to Nylander in terms of goals. So, yeah. You know, impressive years all the way around, and not to take anything away from Auston Matthews, the Leafs need him to continue to score goals, especially while, you know, Riley is out and Tavares is out with a minor injury. It's just, you know, it's sad to say that he could score 70 goals and he won't even be in the top three or four in the MVP voting.
Well, we'll see how it all shakes out in the end. This is the Leafs Combo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. Norm and Mike, like the content, subscribe to the channel. Last night, the Leafs were playing a team they knew they could beat on paper, 100%. First period, 4 goals, set the tone. The Ducks really had no chance of coming back from that. And if the Leafs had given up that kind of lead to a team like the Ducks, they really should have folded the franchise. They did not. A 9-2 win, lopsided or not, Mike, give me your impressions of that victory last night, what you liked about it, and what you think they can take going forward into what's going to be a really, really difficult week of play ahead.
Well, I mean, you have to give them credit for doing something that they traditionally and regularly during this season and past seasons that they don't do, which is step on the neck and kill them. Yep. That was a team that, you know, is at the bottom of the NHL standings. It's a bunch of young players. And usually they're like, oh, Mason McTavish is coming back to the Toronto area. He's, you know, he's going to like basically do a Katarina Witt, like, you know, yeah. do a triple sow cow or whatever the hell they, you know what I'm saying? It's like I'm so sick and tired of yeah. of the Toronto area kids coming back and just like lighting the Leafs on yeah. fire. And they didn't do that. You know, the Leafs really, I mean, Auston Matthews set the tone. You know, he got the goal early. They piled on 4 goals. The goaltender that baffled them in Anaheim, Lucas Dostal, they yeah. pulled after a period. So, you know, it was refreshing to see them do that. And I also think that the focus on Radko Gudas helped the Leafs sort of get up for that game because, you know, the bearded menace last year, the picture seen around the world of him yelling at Joseph Woll as they scored the overtime goal. You know, Brian Reeves wasn't part of that team or Max Domi wasn't part of that team, but obviously, you know, the other players were on that team and wanted to maybe to send a little bit of a message to Gudas. And, you know, he was a marked man, and to the point that Greg Cronin, the Anaheim coach, barely played him in the third period because he was afraid he was going to get into something.
And Ryan Reeves looked like he wanted to have a little go with Radko Gudas. It didn't happen, but if Reeves can be out there as a mitigation tactic, or, you know, to flex a little bit of muscle, even in a circumstance like he found himself last night, pretty much on top of this guy when it came to the scoreboard and what was going on the ice with the flow of the play. You take advantage of guys when you can. You also punch up when you need to get a little bit of momentum going. So, you know, good game all round, just from a, you know, getting it done perspective. Austin Matthews has 3 goals, Marner with a couple of assists, Max Domi with a couple of assists. You know, Mr. Nylander continues to do his thing, 3 points. Nick Robertson picked one up late in the game, the 9th goal, 2 points. Bobby McMahon, though, coming off his first career hat trick, follows up with a 2-goal performance. Just when you go to HockeyDB and you look up Bobby McMahon, there's really not a lot there. And here we are, 2024 in the NHL, and this guy's playing like he belongs.
Well, not a lot there at the NHL level, but I mean, the guy scored 21 goals in the American Hockey League, and you know, he's an undrafted guy. He's the type of player that the Leafs have really been looking for in terms of a bottom six guy, which means size. He's not slow. It's not like he gets caught behind the play. And I mean, I've been an advocate of giving him an opportunity the last couple of years, but really there hasn't seemed to be a role. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year he only played 10 games, he only had an assist, but 30 games, he had 21 goals. There's some talent there. Mm-hmm. So he finally gets an opportunity this year, and he gets the hat trick against St. Louis, and albeit the third goal was a bank shot, you know, like reminiscent of Minnesota Fats. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I am all for giving Bobby McMahon more ice time and more opportunity down the stretch, because now he's not a kid. He's 27 years old, and he's paid his dues. He's been in the AHL for parts of 4 seasons. He's played a grand total of 39 NHL games. But there's something there. You know, I think that – I'm not saying he's a top 6 forward or anything like that, right, but I think he can be a contributor. I think he can be a contributor on the bottom 6, and these are the type of guys – you know, they're not going to cost you a ton. You sign them for a few years and you let them sort of germinate on that bottom 6, and you've got yourself a player. So his problem has been, you know, being able to stay healthy. But, you know, this is the type of guy — he's not an overly physical guy, but this is the type of guy that the Leafs traded when they dumped Mason Marchment for Dennis Malgin. Probably the worst deal that Kyle Dubas ever made was trading a guy who could be a contributor for a guy who was a complete non-entity. McMahon is a guy you keep on the bottom in the bottom 6 and let him play.
Well, you hope Brad Treliving recognizes that, and you know, Sheldon Keefe allows him to grow and evolve into something maybe not special, but something utilitarian, and that will help the group. Tyler Bertuzzi with a good game last night. Matthew Nyes with a couple of points. Just the complete effort. Most of the players on the ice picking up points. In a lopsided game, you know, we can criticize it for being meaningless due to the fact that, you know, they had won the game in the first period. Mm-hmm. But what the hell else do you want them to do for periods 2 and 3? And this is a good thing, Mike, based on what happened with Morgan Rielly, some of the comments after the vitriol that came at the Maple Leafs for, you know, their claim that on our claim that the league is biased against the Maple Leafs. And then, you know, obviously the conversation ramps up over the Leafs overvaluing their importance. And then the idea that from that game after Ottawa, how they responded in the next game, this kind of group, them against the world sort of thing. Hey, you know what? We'll be up 4-1 after the first period against a bottom feeder team. We're going to keep coming. So that's what it looked like to me last night. It's just kind of not stopping. We're going to keep going and get that momentum ramped up for, again, what is going to be a pretty wild week with some really good competition staring them down.
All right. There's no doubt that the league is biased. That's my opinion. And if you don't like it, you can stick it. I mean, people in the comments apparently were saying things of, you know, like we're
homers all of us.
No, anybody who knows me and the fact that I've covered this team and comment on this team for 15 years knows that I'm not a homer. Do I want to see the Leafs win? Of course, because it's a good story and it allows. But honestly, the NHLPA, the Leafs and Riley went to New York on Friday to appeal. And normally, 99 times out of 100, an appeal doesn't mean squat because Bettman is not going to undercut his Department of Player Safety. You're already at game three of the 5-game suspension. It's pointless, but they want to highlight the fact that that call was patently absurd, that the 5-game suspension for that was totally ridiculous. But okay, there's nothing – I think they're just setting – it's sort of like the goal review on the goal near the end of the game that the Leafs called. It's like the game's not in jeopardy, mm-hmm. but they ran into Martin Jones, so you get the goal reversed, and they did.
Can I just throw something
in? Yeah, yeah.
Melissa and I were watching that, and she's like, "Big deal, just let it go." But it's the principle. You have to do it. If it was a 1-1 game. At that
right.
and at that point of the contest, you would contest that and you would want to have that goal overturned. It's really the principle of it. Sure, hey, if we could just throw the Ducks a couple of goals to make it look like they were there, sure, no problem. But you gotta do it. You have to have that looked at and overturned if you believe that the goal was illegal. And that's just the way she goes sometimes.
Yeah, you give them you could give Anaheim life. Not that they would come back and win the game, but they'd come back and make the game a little more, a little more difficult. Right. But the other points that you made, I mean, Matthew Nyes, it's been a slow grow for him.
Right.
I mean, he's moved between second, third, first line. I do think that there's a bit of chemistry there with Matthews. It was a nice pass on the opening goal. And, you have to say, a goal early, which it was a pass from behind the net through the legs of somebody and, that got them on the board very quickly and sort of didn't allow Anaheim to have any confidence.
Right.
And that, that's important. So, he's got 22 points. You maybe expect a little more out of him based on the way he played at the end of the year and in the playoffs. But it's a slow grow. And honestly, I think – defensively, he's played well, which, for a rookie is an important thing.
Sure it is.
And the offense is coming. Now, I think the most important goal was Bertuzzi. I mean, the guy has just been snake bit. The game against St. Louis especially, he had like 5 or 6 ridiculous chances that were just either hitting the post or going wide or hit the skate of the goaltender. It just, he needed a goal where it just goes off his leg.
Is bad puck luck a thing for Tyler Bertuzzi?
I do think it is. I do also think that he's not lived up to the expectations that the Leafs had for him.
But if the bounces go the other way, then statistically we would say he's doing what he was brought in to do.
Right. He should be. I mean, he should probably be at the end of the season, based on expectations and what they paid him, a 25-goal scorer. And right now he's got 7 goals. So he's going to probably end up with around 12 or 13.
Is there enough rubber to go around, though, Mike? I mean, the top scorer on the team has 48 goals. Nylander scores goals. Marner's got 22. Tavares has 15. Yarncroc has 10. Is there enough puck to go around for a guy like Bertuzzi to score 20-plus?
Yeah. I mean, when he's playing on those lines, when he's right. playing with Nylander or Marner or yeah. Tavares or Matthew, it's just he just really has not been able to find – you could say – he goes to the area in the front of the net, and if the rebound is there, he should bury it. And the rebound has been there, and he hasn't. Now, so the point that that Alex just made in the chat, could be the case. Could be, that he shows up in the playoffs. He did show up for Boston in the playoffs last year, but he also showed up down the stretch for Boston. He was fantastic with the Bruins. So, you can't say that he wasn't a disappointment. And he had 16 points in 21 games with Boston and then had 10 points in the playoffs. If they get what they got out of him in the playoffs that he gave to the Bruins, everybody will be happy. But you can't say that people aren't disappointed in the production that he's put through.
Like the content, subscribe to the channel, guys. We really do appreciate your participation in this project. The Sunday Spectacular back in full swing. And we'll continue on every Sunday with shows throughout the weeks to come. It's going to be a lot of fun. The trade deadline inside of a month, and then it's the push towards the playoffs. Where do the Leafs finish? Are they in the top three, or are they the top wild card team? Do they falter and have to scrape and claw just to, you know, stay in the postseason picture? We'll be a part of the coverage of it, and we'll see how it all shakes out. Let's hope the Leafs do themselves a solid and give themselves an opportunity, even if the world's against them, to be better than they were last year. And that would require a second round Stanley Cup playoff win. So Morgan Rielly has missed three games now. Yeah. The appeal of his suspension really going nowhere. What's developing now is this talk, and it's got to be semi in jest, that when the Leafs don't have Rielly in the lineup, they are really good, like 17-3 kind of good.
Yeah.
Mike, is that just the most ultimate coincidence that's ever been?
I don't think it's a coincidence, but I don't think it's a slag against Morgan Rielly. I think it's the fact that everybody realizes that the guy who's playing 23 or 24 minutes a night, you know, we've got to suck it up because, you know, we don't have, you know, like, okay, Timothy Liljegren's playing 25 minutes. You know, TJ Brody's had to move over to the left side. All these adjustments happen. And, you know, last year when Rielly and Brody and Muzzin were out, remember, that was that stretch in November where Matt Murray was phenomenal and they went on that long winning streak. Everybody pitches in. The forwards play better defensively and they come back. You know, when Rielly's there, he's sort of a security blanket, like Linus in the Peanuts comics, where, you know, he's the guy, you know, he brings up the puck and we don't have to worry about it as much. Well, you know, yes, you do. And in the playoffs, maybe that level of effort is there. But during the regular season, there's a complacency there because they have Morgan Rielly back there.
So keep him out of the lineup and his teammates will die.
No. But you also have to say that, I mean, you would like them to bottle this effort,
right?
This type of effort. I mean, they swept the three-game homestand. I mean, granted, it wasn't like they were playing Tampa, Florida, and Colorado.
They had to get it done, and they did.
Yes. I mean, especially with the tight race in the East right now. You know, they're in third place after Tampa lost to Florida. But, you know, they're 1 point out of falling into the wild card, and it's 4 or 5 points between them and, being out of the playoffs. So every win counts. They have to go. You know, they're going to play the first two games of this four-game road swing without Rielly. They're going to, I think, best-case scenario, and with tough opposition in Colorado and Vegas, they got to go 2-2. If they go 2-2, then everybody should be happy. Now,
but it's also how they play, Mike. It's how they play. If it's a cluster, you know what, and they get points, it'll help the cause. But, you know, will it really help them develop into what we want them to be? I mean, they've looked a lot better of late. And if they can just stay with that, I mean,
yeah,
wins, losses be damned. You know, kind of flying under the radar heading into the playoffs might be a good thing for this team, Michael.
I mean, you can make that point. I mean, Florida made the Stanley Cup final because they had to battle in March and April just to get in. I get that. There was some good fortune there where they played a Boston team without Bergeron, with Krejci, all these things for that, with a goaltender that was hurt. There was a lot of things just fall into place. Personally, I would rather be home and cooled out rather than have to fight to the last day to get in the playoffs. But there is a benefit there, you'd like to rest your players down the stretch, get them a little blow before the playoffs begin. But, sometimes a team is not afforded that kind of luxury.
Right.
I mean, you could put in one column and put it in the other column. I just think right now, you know, the Leafs, they're not comfortably in a playoff spot, but I don't think that, unless there's God forbid, a serious injury to a key player, they're making the playoffs. It's just a question from that point of where do they go? And I said this a couple weeks ago. Right now, their options are bad or worse. It's either Rangers, Florida, although now Florida's tied with Boston. So Rangers, Boston, or Florida. So it's like none of those series are the Leafs a favored team.
Mike, just to go back a little less than a year, did you want the Leafs to play Tampa in the first round? Was that the matchup you were hoping for?
Well, it doesn't matter what I or Leaf fans were hoping for. From January, that was the matchup. I mean, Boston ran away with first place in the division.
Fair enough. But again, there's the ideal matchup and then whatever you get. I'm just trying to remind OGs and converts of, you know, what you had wanted to see then. And if you were obviously ultimately pleased with how the Leafs overcame Tampa. I mean, they were due to beat Tampa. Just real quick, going back to Morgan Rielly here. Veets, an OG, when you give so much ice time to guys like Rielly, then the rest of the D don't get as engaged. Mike, comment on that, and then we have some inquiries about William Lagesson's status.
Yeah, well, I mean, I see the point there, but really, Sheldon Keefe has no options. It's like, I mean, okay, do you really want to play Simone Benoit 25 minutes? No, I mean, and I'm not ripping Simone Benoit, but I'm saying, you know, up until last year when he played 70 plus games, you know, he's a journeyman guy. I mean, he's not really considered. Now he's taken advantage of his opportunities, and that's good. I mean, I think the one place where the ice time has benefited more than anyone has been Liljegren. Liljegren with more ice time, and I've said this for a couple of years. He's a top four defenseman. Just give him the opportunity. But then he'll make an error or he'll get injured and then he ends up on the bottom pairing again. Well, you know, he's pointed the power play. He's played 20 plus minutes while Rielly has been out. He's looked pretty damn good. He set up Nylander for the overtime winner against Philadelphia. I'm for playing him in the top four. But, you know, based on what Brad for Living may do before the deadline, he may end up on the bottom pairing again if they go out and trade for a defenseman. We'll talk about some rumors in a minute. But, you know, I mean, I see the point that was being made, but no, they're playing Rielly because he's the best player and they need to play their best players.
Well, again, when somebody's down, we like to kick them and we want to elevate players who probably don't really deserve that type of elevation when weighted out against, you know, guys who've been there through and through. But that's where we are today. It's going to take the complete team to make the strides necessary for this group to feel like it's progressing beyond where it's capped out the last several years. So, again, it all remains to be seen in the now. OGs and converts, this is good. We're enjoying this, and it's a lot better than it could have been. So let's head into the week ahead with, you know, a full tank of gas and a lot of goodwill and a lot of excitement for the possibilities. Again, Mike, you know, the end results are going to affect the team either positively or negatively in the standings, but it's just how they do things to me at this juncture that make the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. If we can see that full 200-foot game, more defensive responsibility, know that whoever the hell you throw between the pipes is going to give you competency and a chance to win. That's what I'm hoping to see at this stage. Just going through our talking points.
Well, before you do, because I want to answer with you brought up Lagesson's injury, an update on that. Sheldon Keefe said that after the game that he is going to miss some time, so that, you know, it's not a day-to-day thing. It sounds like a week-to-week thing. I saw the video of when he got hurt, and I don't exactly know what exactly happened. They say it's an upper body injury. The issue here right now in the immediate situation is with Rielly suspended. And unfortunately, Mark Giordano is on bereavement leave because his dad passed away on Thursday. That means that Maxime Lajoie is going to be playing. And last night, because Lagesson got hurt, you know, Mitch Marner was playing defense in the third period. And really, the reason that they called up Lajoie is because a number of the young defensemen down with the Marlies, they don't want to bring them up. They don't think they're ready, like Topi Niemelä or William Villeneuve. They really have no options. And they're not going to rush Giordano back. Obviously his dad passed away. You can say, well, be a professional, but if my dad passed away, I'm out of commission.
Nobody's saying that.
I'm just saying, they can't expect him to come back even though they're shorthanded. So they're going to have to sort of like call up somebody or make a trade for somebody. But right now, they're playing shorthanded on D until Riley gets back. And this just accentuates their dilemma in terms of their blue line going into the playoffs. They're not deep. You get an injury or two and you're in trouble. And this is not a defense that can win a Stanley Cup. I don't know if it's a defense that can get you through a round. And they were hurt by the loss of John Klingberg. Connor Timmins is out with mono. Giordano's out with the death of his father. And now,
hey, but Simon Benoit is laying people out, man. So
I know. And you know what? I mean, they have to thank their lucky stars that they signed Simon Benoit because he has been everything that Justin Hall ain't. he's been a key contributor.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that Simone Benoit isn't is right-handed. If he was right-handed compared to Hall, that was the reason Hall was around for so many years, is he was a right-hand shot blue liner. But Simone Benoit has earned himself probably a 2 or 3 year contract with the league.
He hits and he's got that tough presence to him. This is why the OGs and converts identify guys like this. You know, we want finesse, we want skill, but when there is a player who plays with a bit of a different pulse and is a little tougher and has a greater presence on the ice, even if it's in smaller spurts and is kind of secondary to what the big shots are usually doing night in and night out, we can tell, right? We can tell. So Simon Benoit's one guy. You need a complete mosaic back there, and that's again one issue that the Leafs, I don't know if they can address, but hope that through recovery and people coming back from suspension and from bereavement and from mono and things like that, they'll have a group that will do its best to at worst punch above its weight and see what happens. So, Mike, inside the trade deadline, we're about what? I don't know, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks.
Just under 3 weeks.
Okay.
8th of March. Yeah.
What people love rumors. Mm-hmm. People love to speculate. People love to hope and dream. Do you have anything for us when it comes to potential deals the Leafs could make at or before the NHL trade deadline?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. And I mean, obviously a rumor is a rumor because it's not proven yet, but you rely on the people who have the connections, like insiders, like Elliot Friedman or LeBron. CJ, Chris Johnston, Darren Drager, they have the contacts in the league. They snuff out things and smell things out and some things make sense and some things don't make sense. The consensus right now is the Leafs have cast a very wide net when it comes to blue liners. And obviously, like based on the conversation we just had, that makes a ton of sense. Now, the goalie thing makes no sense because Pierre LeBrun wrote, and I'm not disputing that this is rumored. Pierre LeBrun reported that, Marc-Andre Fleury is probably going to be moved before March the 8th. Minnesota is out of it. And Fleury's got a no move clause. So there are very select places that he would prefer to go. If you remember when he was in Chicago before he got traded to Minnesota, the Leafs kicked tires on him. There might be interest here, but here's the problem. Okay, they're not a serious Stanley Cup contender. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't say that to hurt Leaf fans' feelings, but they're not. It's great that Marc-Andre Fleury would like to come to Toronto to finish off his career. That's fine. But what do you have to give up? You probably have to give up at least a third round pick.
Right.
And I think that's an asset that you need to trade for a defenseman. preferably a defenseman that you can retain for a while. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. It's like the rumor is Colorado, Toronto, and there was one other team that I can't recall. Colorado makes sense because they need a backup goaltender. Right. But trading for a goalie this year, and the only thing that prevents this is injury. This year, you need to find out what Joseph Woll is in the playoffs.
And they have – look, they have three guys.
Right.
They have three guys. There's no reason to bring in a Marc-Andre Fleury to encapsulate a career for ceremonial purposes when your assets to deal for help are limited to begin with, right? If you're just packing it on because you can, and you know there's a spot for him, sure, if he can play 10 games plus a little bit in the playoffs. But that's an interesting rumor, Mike. I mean, it gets the names out there, big right. names associated with the Maple Leafs, and that's probably as big a name as it's going to get for.
And that's what I think it is. I think that Toronto's being folded in there because it's Toronto, and it gets the hopper going. But and I think it was CJ that reported about the Leafs sort of casting the wide net for defensemen, especially rentals. The two names that were mentioned were Alexander Carrier of Nashville and Sean Walker of Philadelphia. Well, now, this is the thing. Philadelphia is making noises that they want a first round pick for Walker. They can go stick it, because he's an okay defenseman. He's having his best year of his career, of course, in the final year as he's going to unrestricted free agency. So Philadelphia's trying to maximize an asset that they're probably not going to re-sign. And you know, they at least probably want a second round pick, something that the Leafs don't have. Right. Carrier is sort of, you know, I mean, he's a smaller defenseman. You know, he's not bad, but he doesn't really, you know, move the needle, so to speak. So I know that Toronto was in Buffalo for two games last weekend, like we discussed on the last show. I personally think that maybe Eric Johnson, the veteran defenseman, is somebody that they're looking at. Mm-hmm. But they're looking at rentals, and they're looking at, you know, according to one of the insiders, they said, well, they're looking to package a lot of their lower picks. None of these teams want the lower picks. They want a first round pick, and the Leafs are not going to give that up for a rental.
And the Leafs are light on draft capital to begin with.
So right.
It's going back to your point that you don't believe the Leafs are in position to take a legitimate run at a Stanley Cup this year. That means that there's just no point expending the few resources that are still available that are better applied at another period. Vepsis, trade at most for depth forwards and defensemen who have term. Don't trade for rentals with very few picks to spare. Well, there you go. Last word to you, Mike.
The problem is, Vepsis, is that teams are loath to trade the depth players with
right.
term.
Because tango.
Yeah, because they're cheap talent. And sure. You know, now they'll trade the rentals. And then it's up to your general manager, if it's a guy that you like, to reset. Like, okay, you traded for Sam Lafferty. If the Leafs liked Sam Lafferty enough and he had a year left in his contract, they could have extended him. But, you know, that's where now, and you could do that with Noel Achary or Ryan O'Reilly. You traded for him. You traded high draft picks for him. It's up to you to get him to sign. But once they sniff July 1st and they know that they're close, they're going to go to market. So that's the problem you have. So I would not empty the bank to add rental players, but you know, they probably do need a body or two if they even want to advance a round or two. So we'll see.
Just check it out, NHL.com, the stats. Leafs have the second best power play in the league. They're bottom third on penalty kill, yeah. goals for. They are, fourth? Goals per game in the league, and they're about mid-pack goals against. So statistically, the Leafs do leave things to be desired when it comes to, you know, keeping pucks out of their net, especially during, when they're down a man and just in general. So that should be a focus, you know, being able to get the team playing a greater defensive game, more solidity there. And you want to, you know, you want to bolster the defensive aspect of the group knowing that that's the, I wouldn't say the Achilles heel, but that's where there's vulnerability.
The loss of Yarncroke has really hurt them on the penalty kill. They really, you know, I believe one of the players that they might have been looking at in Buffalo would be Eric Robinson, who is a penalty killer. Yeah. You know, he's a quality enough player to play fourth line. The thing is, it's like when, you know, Yarncroke is out, then they're playing Nylander and Matthews on the PK. And that's, I mean, you right. don't want those guys blocking shots. So if you can go out and get yourself a fourth line winger who can penalty kill and not have Ryan Reeves in the lineup all the time, you know, if you sprinkle him in and out, that's fine. But I think for the playoffs, you know, Ryan Reeves is a guy who plays 7 minutes at most. Maybe he keeps some of the flies off if you're playing Florida, if you're playing Boston. Sure. But really, he doesn't have a role in most of those games in a playoff setting. So you need penalty killers, especially right. with their PK being that bad.
Well, I like when there are players who are interchangeable depending on that circumstance within the given game, right? Or what you expect to come, and you know you have the arsenal to react to what you believe is you're going to be facing that night. So let's see, St. Louis, Arizona, Las Vegas, Colorado. Quite the week to come. Austin Matthews, 48 goals right now. He's ahead of his, you know, the second highest scoring player in the league by like 9 goals. Today, February 18, 2024, Mike, you're making a prediction. Does Austin Matthews hit 70 goals this season?
Yes, I think he does.
Wow.
The way he's going, I mean, you know, consecutive games with hat tricks. Now, I think they said he had 6. You know, that's pretty damn good. So, I mean, and that's unprecedented in the history of the Leafs. I think he's got a really good chance. And the way he's scoring, I mean, he's just, you know, it's like he gets the puck, you think it's going in the net. So, yeah, I think he's going to get it.
The last 70 goal scorer in the NHL was, Mike?
The last 70 goal scorer.
Is it Alex McGillney?
Alex McGillney and Solani scored 76 in 93. I think Brett Hull scored 70 after that. So I'd say Brett Hull.
Let's see.
It wasn't Ovechkin. Ovechkin's never scored.
No. I've got 92-93.
Yep.
Alex 92-93. Alex McGillney, okay. 76 goals. Solani, same year. And then Brett Hull scored 86 goals in 90-91.
Okay. So I got the last three. There you go.
Wow. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It is. I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, especially this is a league that, you know, I mean, you're talking the Wild West, the late 80s and 90s.
That's
and
crazy.
The league is not like that anymore. So if he scores 70, I mean, he should be in the mix for the MVP. But if you look at it, the Leafs will make the playoffs, but they won't be like top of the division or top of the conference. So that is a factor.
Mm. Hey, the Rocket Richard Trophy is nice, but an MVP would be even nicer. What Austin Matthews is doing is unprecedented, and it's historical. And he's the best goal scorer in the game today, in my opinion, and I'm sure a lot of people share that. When things start to wind down for him, or when he hits his absolute peak and he can see the other side, what the hell will his team have accomplished?
Right.
Right. And, you know, is it one of those things where it's just going to take a little more time and the group will get there led by Matthews or bolstered by Matthews, or will, you know, Matthews have the same kind of trajectory as someone like Alex Ovechkin, who lit the lamp for so many years and did so many things individually, can never get the caps over the hump. And then all of a sudden, right. My hope is that at the end of it all, to either complement or supersede all of the individual accolades, however he wants to look at it or how fans want to look at it, he has a championship or two with the Maple Leafs to go along with everything else he's done for himself. Mr. A, what's going on at HockeyBuzz.com?
Well, we'll be covering this road trip and following all the rumors leading up to March the 8th. So that's what I'll be doing.
OG's Converts, like the content, subscribe to the channel. Check out Convo Reels on YouTube. I've got a whole bunch on there right now, many more to cut. You can like them, dislike them, comment on them. Let us know. Remember, we're not always going to agree, but at the end of the day, I do believe we all are pulling for the same thing to happen, and that's the Maple Leafs to be successful. If we can, we'll drop a midweek show. If not, we'll see you in 7 days' time. For Mike Augello, I'm Norm James. Thanks for watching the Leafs Convo. For Oak Ridge Ford, we are out.